I'm reading from a website from Hanover Education, from Nathaniel Bacon, The Fearful Estate of Francis Spira, London, 1638, edited from the original text by Frank Lutmer. Among English Puritans, the most common and the most feared of Satan's temptations was the temptation to despair, the loss of hope in one's own salvation. Perhaps the most widely known example of despair in the 16th and 17th century was the case of an Italian lawyer, Francis Spira. In 1548, Spira converted to Lutheranism and began to spread the Lutheran message to others. Under pressure from the Catholic Church, however, he renounced his Protestant faith. He then became convinced that he was a reprobate destined for hell. The story of Spira spread throughout Europe, surfacing in sermons and treatises dealing with despair. In England, an account of Spira's case by a first-hand witness, Matteo Grabaldi, appeared in 1550. The most influential English account of Spira, however, was written by Nathaniel Bacon in 1638. Bacon's Fearful Estate of Francis Spira, based on the original Latin records, became an instant bestseller and was reissued 10 times in England and 8 times in the American colonies in the 17th and 18th centuries. For anti-Puritans, Spira's case exemplified the dangers of the Calvinist teachings of predestination and human corruption. Puritans, however, emphasized with Spira, seeing Spira's condition as simply an extreme example of the experience of all godly Christians. William Perkins, a preeminent Puritan theologian, wrote, "Oft it will fall out that the conscience of God's child shall be so exceedingly tormented in temptation that he shall cry out, 'He is forsaken of God,' and shall be damned, when as indeed he still remains a dear child of God, as Christ our Savior did God's well-beloved in the deepest assaults of Satan." And therefore the relation published of Francis Spira, his desperation, doth inconsiderately tax him for a castaway, considering that nothing befell him in the time of his desperation but that which may befall the child of God. Yea, our own land can afford many examples which match Francis Spira, whether we regard the matter of his temptation or the deepness of his desperation, who yet through the mercy of God have received comfort. And therefore in this case Christian charity must ever bind us to think and speak the best. I'm reading from a book that was brought to my attention by one of the listeners of this podcast, and one of the most interesting titles I have seen in rare books. The author is a man named John Poynter, who translated his text from the French, and the preface by John Calvin from Latin. And I'm reading the preface this morning, which is all the time I will have for, and then we will continue the history of Francis Spira in the next podcast. Preface. John Calvin to the Christian reader. Grace and peace. How great is the depravity of our hearts, or the perversion of our judgments in considering the works of God, is evidenced in this, that notwithstanding he displays in instances so numerous manifest examples of vengeance on the wickedness of men. Many contemptuously neglect them. Some openly deride them. Others suppose them to happen by accident, and all bury them in speedy oblivion. While such ingratitude is sufficiently reprehensible in itself, it is attended with this additional evil, namely, that we fail to derive the advantage which we ought from the divine judgments. This is briefly noticed by the prophet: "When thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness." Isaiah 26:9, by which he intimates that men under the influence of alarm should be instructed in the fear of God and in holiness of life. The prophets aim at nothing more in their instructions than to engrave, as it were, on our memories the punishments which God inflicts on the wicked and impious. But in addition to this, there still exists a greater evil, namely that of obstinacy, so that even although admonished, we do not learn wisdom. Therefore, of so many admonitions which the prophets continually inculcate and proclaim, as it were, in thunder, the only apparent result is that some few are in a slight degree affected. In order that God may remove such brutish insensibility, he sometimes exhibits such prodigies as compel us to feel even while we continue to sleep. Such an example he displayed not long since in the case of Francis Spira, first in Italy, that is, in the principal and most renowned theater of all Europe and the Christian world, and next in that nation which, while otherwise excelling in superiority of talent, is in this particular stupid in the extreme. For there so extensively does impiety abound that either the majority will not regard God as the creator of the world, or will not acknowledge him as its future judge. And can we be surprised at this, if Antichrist, who has diffused his deadly poison even to the remotest boundaries of the world, should affect his own Italians with a more particular taint? While therefore we find other nations fascinated by impious superstitions, we behold her raging with unbridled contempt for God. That nation has indeed some eminent and judicious servants of Christ. Nor do I doubt that Christ has many sheep there, which, although now scattered abroad, shall at length be collected together. In ordinary life, however, even if all ranks be examined, nothing appears but horrible blindness. Since, therefore, they treat the Almighty with such careless, yea, haughty contempt, let them have such masters as they deserve. Among these, Francis Spira may justly be considered as preeminent. For being, as it appeared that he was, an unstable man, full of ambition, addicted to ostentation, and disposed profanely to philosophize in the school of Christ, his real character being at length exposed, he showed that he had for some time occupied a place among them to whom he did not in fact belong. Hence the Italians, with whom it is too familiar a habit to trifle with God, may learn how severe a vengeance he will inflict on the deriders of his majesty. Now, since the Roman Antichrist has sought to achieve, through his legate, a memorable triumph over Christ and his gospel, in the person of a wretched and abandoned man, he has produced a result worthy of his nefarious artifices. So long as Spira dragged out a lifeless existence in the world, in the midst of excruciating torments, he never ceased to exclaim that he was devoted to eternal destruction, because he had been influenced partly by the meretricious allurements and partly by the tyrannical threats of the Romish legate to a base renunciation of the Son of God, that is, of the only salvation. The voices of the martyrs whom they sacrificed with outrageous cruelty resound among them, and they are heard indeed in heaven. The Pope with his conclave considers them unworthy of all attention. Let them therefore delight themselves with the strains of this his own martyr, while in the meantime they are forced into the same scene of despair. I address the Pope of Rome with his band of robbers, and the Italians in particular, not because the warnings belong to them alone, but because by the marvelous providence of God the spectacle was placed more expressly before their eyes, since they are only to be excited by so tragical a development. In the meantime, let other nations also learn from such events that they are admonished by the Lord. Let our own countrymen, the French, consider this with fixed attention, who, elated to the clouds by their levity, are accustomed indecently to make a profane laughingstock of religion. To this let the Germans listen, who, having long been backward and remiss in regarding the judgments of God, appear at length from extreme depravity to have renounced the reason of human beings. Let the English also, and others, learn with what reverence and solicitude they should receive Christ now dawning upon them. Whether the wretched Spira was allured by enticements or constrained by terror to abjure the truth of God which he had professed, it is a signal proof that the confession of pious and sound doctrine, however mean in our esteem, is not prized at a low rate at the tribunal of God. For as soon as he suffered himself to be drawn to such perfidious dissimulation, as a reprobate never failed to proceed from one sin to another, he slipped into multiplied pitfalls and became entangled in different nets of despair, until, wretched as he was, he destroyed himself by insane speculations, like the beasts who, when ensnared in the nets, struggle to no purpose. Since, therefore, he is an example of divine justice, worthy alike of the regard of the present age and the memory of posterity, it appeared right that his history, composed by a learned and competent person, with all due fidelity, should be given to the public, lest either through indifference, through negligence, or through malignity of men it should be forgotten. For since everyone is aware that former relations of this event have been less carefully compiled, they are likely to be less profitable to their readers. May the Lord Jesus confirm our hearts in the full and sincere belief of his own gospel, and retain our tongues in the uniform confession of him, that as we now join in one song with angels, we may at length enjoy together with them the blessed delights of the heavenly kingdom. End quote. John Calvin, Geneva, December 1549.
Stillwater's Revival Books is now located at puritandownloads.com. It's your worldwide online Reformation home for the very best in free and discounted classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, MP3s, and videos. For much more information on the Puritans and Reformers, including the best free and discounted classic and contemporary books, MP3s, digital downloads, and videos, please visit Stillwater's Revival Books at puritandownloads.com. Stillwater's Revival Books also publishes the Puritan Hard Drive, the most powerful and practical Christian study tool ever produced. All thanks and glory be to the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this remarkable and wonderful new Christian study tool. The Puritan Hard Drive contains over 12,500 of the best Reformation books, MP3s, and videos ever gathered onto one portable Christian study tool. An extraordinary collection of Puritan, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian, Covenanter, and Reformed Baptist resources. It's fully upgradable and it's small enough to fit in your pocket. The Puritan Hard Drive combines an embedded database containing many millions of records with the most amazing and extraordinary custom Christian search and research software ever created. The Puritan Hard Drive has been produced to assist you in the fascinating and exhilarating spiritual, intellectual, familial, ecclesiastical, and societal adventure that is living the Christian life. It has been specifically designed so that you might more faithfully know, serve, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to help you to do all you can to bring glory to His great name. If you want to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then the Puritan Hard Drive is for you. Visit PuritanDownloads.com today for much more information on the Puritan Hard Drive and to take advantage of all the free and discounted Reformation and Puritan books, MP3s, and videos that we offer at Stillwater's Revival Books.